This is Military Mondays with Major David Katz.
Major David Katz, a very, very good morning. I always want to stand up when we hear your music. How are you?
I'm in excellent spirits, thank you very much. I've actually got a miracle true story, if I can relate it
quickly. A miracle true story or a true miracle story?
One of my phases went down on Saturday. Electricity phases.
Oh, I thought it was like a phase you were going
into. No.
And like vegetarianism or something.
I phoned City Power.
Yes.
And they responded in 20 minutes.
No, never. Don't be ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Stop teasing us like
and
that.
And they actually fixed the problem. Can you believe it?
City Power responded in 20 minutes.
20
fixed
minutes.
The power.
And that was at about 10 o'clock on Saturday night. They came out at 10 o'clock on Saturday night to fix my power, and it took them 20 minutes.
This is a true story. It happened
Absolutely.
To you. It's not an urban legend. It's not a friend
I'm
of a
willing
friend.
Willing to undergo a lie detector test. And
really?
I know it's unbelievable. Difficult to believe, but there we are. That's
not
the good news for the weekend.
Nigh on impossible. But very well, I suppose that is why you called it. A miracle.
A miracle.
Unbelievable. At 8:23, we've got a very, very special guest in studio for Military Mondays. Now, of course, we do have to be a little cautious in terms of how we speak to. What are we calling him? Sergeant Major
Sergeant
X.
Sergeant Major X.
I like that. One day I want to be so cool that I'm going to be called something X. X something. That's never good. No, look, because, yeah, you can also, no, there can be something completely different. All right.
Stick with me. We'll get you. We'll get you there.
Yep, incognito. That's me, yeah. Anyway, Sergeant Major X, welcome to Chai FM, and thank you for joining us in studio.
Yeah, nice to be here. Good morning.
Right, so we were talking, one of the things that we wanted to discuss are elite units that most armies around the world have. You know, South African Army had them in the horrible days gone by. I'm sure they have them now. Now that things are a little bit settled, the U.S. Military has them. Which is the U.S. one? Which are their?
They got a few special forces, the Green Berets. They got a few special forces.
Right. So most armies have one. Israel have also a number of them. And you've been involved in a unit called Yamas, which until some time ago nobody even knew existed. Can you give us a sense of what that unit is?
Yeah, sure. So about 29 years ago, the Israeli government and the military, they understood that there is a need for a special unit specializing in infiltrate the urban territories of the Palestinian and accessing and surprising the terrorists while they're doing their daily stuff. And during that time, the chief commander was also killed by an operation 2 years later. His name was Eli Avram. Established the unit. And so again, the idea was to build a unit that will infiltrate and surprise them, and that's where they started in 1990.
So it starts in 1990, but for the first while, no one really knows about it.
Yeah.
And when does it become openly acknowledged?
So I believe after 3 to 4 years, there were more awareness in the terrorism, and they start realizing there's a special forces walking among them, so they're not secure when they're inside the West Bank on the Gaza Strip. And basically was fearing all the time that someone is going to surprise them anytime.
Right. How are these types of units, you were involved, as far as I understand, for about 6 years. Are these types of units ones that you can just do for military service, for your conscription, or do you have to sign up for much longer if someone wants to get into one of these types of units?
Yeah, so it started like any other recruiter in the Israeli army. So you request for recruiting to Israeli border police, which it's a pretty standard procedure. From there, you have a 4 months of a boot camp, and then you picked up by the officers and the soldiers and the commanders, and if you fit to be, move on to the next step, which is the counter-terror course.
Right.
And then another 4 months of specializing and qualifying to be one of the team unit member. And from there, it's you're a team member. It takes you about 1 year of qualification, and from there you have 2 years of service. And if you decide later to even want to move on as a career service, you can do it as well.
Right. Do a high majority of people within these units stay longer than the 2 years?
So, yeah, I think what's specializing us or differentiating us between other units in the IDF is that the number of years we're serving in makes us more professional, more, you know, what do you call it? Knowing the area, know the
right. Well, it is. It's experience. It's knowledge. Exactly. It's much easier to keep doing something that you become knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
So, and when you function within your groups, obviously it depends on what you're doing. But are you working with the same people, with the same units over and over again? In other words, when you obviously learn everybody, you have to have a very, very good understanding and a very good and close relationship with the teams that you're working with, presumably.
Yeah, sure. So it's you sleep with them, you eat with them, you do basically everything with them. Sometimes you see them more than you see your wife or your girlfriend, and that's where
the camaraderie, the connection.
Yeah, exactly. Within each one of us, and eventually they're the one watching your back, so you want to have this feeling and knowing that they have someone is
Can I make an observation?
Yes.
When I think of special forces, you always think of these hulking psychopathic guys, and really... When you look at Sergeant Major X, you can see he's an unassuming, wiry, somebody who would just fit in anywhere. That's my first impression of Special Forces. They're very, very unassuming, normal people, which goes totally against the grain of what you would see.
Of what you'd expect. You'd expect 6'6" both ways.
Absolutely. So am I right in that observation? I mean, most people who join these units are not killers and psychopaths and whatever. They're just patriots who want to make a difference.
Yeah, sure. We're normal people. We're like any other Israeli citizen, but we have the duty, and we have to protect our country. It's Israeli and the Jewish community all over the world are facing a survival mode every day. So we don't choose it. We have to do it.
But obviously, to get into this unit, you've got to be something special. There must be a bar that's set very high to get into this unit, because you obviously psychologically you're going to undergo a hell of a lot of strain.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what it takes to get into a unit like this.
I think there's a few qualification or some
requirements.
Yeah. So it's becoming when you have to be. That's the way I see it. You have to be very reliable, and you have to be professional. And I think what's also special or needed is that the ability to, we call it the switch, the ability to switch from one mode to another and do it very quickly. And when I say quickly, it means that you can walk with your girlfriend in the mall for, at 10 a.m. and then 1 hour later you'll be inside the West Bank surrounded by a terrorist. And this switch is... it's something that each one of us has
mentally. That must be an incredibly difficult thing.
Yeah.